Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today is a solo episode, and it comes from actually a question that I got in my DMs on Instagram from my girl, Sarah. She is working on a first-time event, and of course, it's giving her a panic attack because it's a first-time event, and you don't know what to expect, and other people don't know what to expect, and sometimes it can be challenging to know, are you trending in the right direction? Like, what do you need to do to sell these tickets when people have never heard of this event, right? So for some events that we've worked on in the past, these events have been around for 20, 30 years, literally almost longer than I've been alive, some of them. And the tickets sell easily because people have heard of it. It's a tradition and everything. But when you're starting a new event, the first year, I'm not gonna lie, is always the biggest challenge. And if you have a great first year, then it probably becomes an annual event. If you have a crap first year, then usually even if it's a good concept, usually what I see is that people give up on it because they think, oh, it's not a good concept, or oh, people don't like this, when they maybe made some like initial mistakes that could have prevented that. So today we're going to talk all about, most of it's about how to sell the tickets, but just in general, like some interesting insight, because I've worked on a lot of first time events and many of them are still going now. They're like in their 10th year and cool stuff like that. So, all right, so let's dive in. So the first thing, if you have a new event coming out, the first thing you need to work on is the branding of the event. And do not make this BOBO, okay? Yes, I just said the term BOBO or whatever you want, ratchet. It needs to be legit and professionally branded. Does that mean you have to spend $1 million on it? No, but you need to find a graphic designer that can actually like put together a visual concept that actually represents what the event is. If it's a fun and kid-friendly event, the graphics need to look fun and colorful and kid-friendly. If it's a food-related event, it needs to have food in the imagery or speak to food. If it's an outdoor event, you don't want to make a black flyer because that doesn't really speak to outside. Or if it's outside on the water, like maybe you use imagery to showcase that. Whatever it is, you've got to get the branding together first, because that is, at this point, literally the only thing you're going to have to sell this event. So, and I always say it's not real until people see a flyer or a graphic or an image. I have literally sold sponsorship for an event that was just an idea and all I had was a flyer. But when people see a flyer, then suddenly they're like, oh, this is definitely happening. Obviously, like they're, look at this flyer promoting this. This is, for some reason, that makes it real to them. So, okay, so you're working on the visuals and everything, but something to really think about is, what is the name of the event? And is that clear about what it is? And I'm not going to lie, if I hear one, like the alliteration, can we please just give up on that? Like puppies, Prosecco, and purses, you know, like I'm so over the alliteration, bubbles and Botox. I'm so over that. Like, come on, people, get more original. Okay. That's just a sidebar on me, but what are you naming it? Is it clear on what the event is, what you do? Maybe it's a one word and then it has a little tagline underneath it. So I helped start an event for a nonprofit, a domestic violence center. And we called it, palette and palette. So like palette, like a painting palette, and palette, like your you know, taste, like your taste palette. I can't think of the word I wanted to say with that, but we put a tagline underneath it that said a 5-course live painting dinner. So that is so freaking clear. Palette and palette, a 5-course, you know, live painting and wine dinner or something like that. I can't remember. It's been years ago. But you've got to make it clear. So if you want to have a fun name, that's fine. Yes, that was a PNP name, but come on, like Whitney helped name that like circa 2016. So think about that when you're naming the event. Also, think about some people want to stick a location name in their event. So, you know, like, okay, so here's a good one. I used to sit on the board for a group that did Paddle at the Porch because they would do it at this restaurant called The Back Porch. Well, then eventually the event outgrew the location and they had to change the name of the event because it didn't make sense anymore when they moved it somewhere else. It wasn't at the porch anymore. And so that was actually going to cause confusion for people. So really think about the name for the event and be careful about putting locator words in that. Even a city, you know, like Orlando Seafood Festival, be careful. What if you end up taking the event to Tampa or something else like that? So just keep in mind about locator words and just think about something that is, but the most important part is what is clear about what the event is. Okay. So you need a snazzy name, a good looking graphic, and then you also need a paragraph about what the event is. Who, what, when, where, why. Doesn't have to be long. It just literally needs to be, join us on Saturday, September 17th for an exciting day of wine tasting and food tastings. We'll have over 50 wines featured in Seville Square and, you know, over 50 food vendors to taste and try different seafood dishes. Tickets are $20 per person and include unlimited tastes of wine and food. Tickets can be purchased here, blah, 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 must buy by this day. I mean, like, we're talking like maybe 7 to 8 sentences. Literally, you need the who, what, when, where, why. And sometimes I even like to write that chronologically, like, you know, for like the wine dinner ones, we did some stuff like guests will be greeted, you know, guests will arrive and enjoy cocktail hour, then be seated for an indulgent 5-course dinner where blah, blah artists will paint a creation before their eyes. At the end of the night, we will auction the piece off, blah, blah, blah. So like writing it chronologically also can be a good one because that can like help people wrap their heads around what they're going to experience. So how can you tell them what they're going to experience in the shortest amount of words? Don't you be writing 6 paragraphs, all right? Ain't nobody reading that. Write 7 to 8 sentences about what they're going to experience. How much are tickets? Where do they get them? You know, who's putting on the event? Day, time, location. What are they going to be doing? How do they buy a ticket? That is what you need. Okay, so graphic, name of the event, and a paragraph. Okay, so those are your nuts and bolts, right? That's your internal stuff. You need to get that ready before you even start any level of sponsorship, promotion, or anything. So the next thing you're going to do is you're going to put together a sponsorship package, probably, if you're seeking sponsorship. And let's be real, 90% of events are seeking sponsorship in some way, or they're seeking partners or vendors or anything like that. So you need to make a sponsorship or a vendor package or form that tells them everything they need to know. So what I usually do is I write out the biggest sponsorship package, and that becomes like the presenting. That's every single benefit. And then you work back from there. You start deleting stuff to make the smaller packages. Then you delete a little more to make the third level. Then you delete a little more to make the fourth level. We're not going to go too much into sponsorship today because I actually have an entire episode about how to create an event sponsorship package. So if you're interested in sponsorship, scroll back. I need to see what episode number it was, but definitely scroll back in our episodes because we did an entire episode that talks to you about like what to include in each package, all that good stuff. But you definitely want to have a clear sponsorship package and a clear vendor form that tells them exactly what they're getting, exactly what they're paying, and you want it to look cohesive. So once you create the packages or levels, send that to the graphic designer and say, hey, I want you to make this look really similar to the flyer. So that way it visually makes sense. People immediately recognize it and they're like, oh, this is the vendor sponsorship for whatever, the Bloody Mary Fest. So those are your two nuts and bolts before you even start outreach to people. You want to get your ducks in a row, okay? And at the end of this episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to get the word out. But right now, we're going to talk about like structure and strategy. So those are the first two things, branding, sponsorship. The next thing we want to talk about is timeline. Okay. So this is where I see everyone screw up. This is honestly the biggest issue and the number one reason why events fail is because people screw up the timeline. They wait until the very last minute and then they don't understand why it didn't do well. Well, hello. Okay, so just speaking from 25,000 feet, you know, I don't like to give blanketed advice on this podcast, but here's what I can say. If it's a big, big event, you know, like I used to help do Destin Seafood Festival, that is literally 30,000 people. It's a 3-day event. People travel from all over the nation to come to that. That's a big event, okay? We would send, heck, the day after the festival, we would send, like, go ahead and post next year's date. But if this is a new event, I would say you are good to put out, like, put up a save the date 6 months out. So what I mean by a save the date is like a Facebook event or, you know, post about it on your social, like put out a save the date 6 months out. If you are doing a smaller, like local event, I think 3 to 4 months out is really, really good. Are you going to sell tickets 3 to 4 months out, especially for a brand new event? No, absolutely not. But you need to go ahead and get it out there so it can start getting picked up on community calendars. It can be on people's radar. The Facebook event will start to take a little bit of traction and get people to click interested. So that's a rough estimate for you. Save the date 6 months out for a big event, 3 to 4 months out for a smaller local event. So after you do that, you need to get the ticket sales up. I would definitely do some sort of ticket like Eventbrite or, you know, one of those ticket sales sites, unless you have the capability on your website, which is bomb. But if you don't, definitely use something like Eventbrite. Make sure you have a branded graphic across the top. You need to get your graphic designer to make a Facebook cover and also a graphic for the top of that. Like Eventbrite page, they have a little spot where you can put in a header image so you can make that branded. You're going to pop in that 7 to 8 word description that I told you about, and then you're going to get your ticket sales up. Okay, don't go blasting it out there just yet. Get your ticket sales up. Get your ticket sale site, Eventbrite website, whatever you're using, get that up. Get it fully populated with details. Don't you be putting up something with no description and then come back to me crying about nobody buying tickets. Well, you weren't clear about what you were selling. So get that page up and running. Get your Facebook event and your Google event up. Okay, before you even shout it from the mountaintops, get those things, nuts and bolts, together. Okay, then you're going to write a press release or a media alert. And do not send that out until you have tested your ticket engine. Because what I see all the time is like people get excited, they send out a press release about an event, and the tickets aren't up or they're not working appropriately. And then you get all those people, all that traffic over there. And then people are like, you get a million bajillion comments of like, hey, I can't buy a ticket. Hey, why isn't the ticket engine working? Hey, what's wrong with the ticket thing? I tried to buy a ticket and did it. And you're going to create a negative experience for people. It's going to make you crazy. So, and also then the media is going to be annoyed and they're going to be like, I don't really want to run your stuff if you don't really have your stuff together, you know? So once you get ticket sales up and you test it, make sure you send out your press release or your media alert, okay? And I would say if we want to talk about timeline here, this needs to happen for a big event, 3 to 4 months out, you could put ticket sales up. You could do it again. It depends on how long the event's been around, but for a big event, that's new, I would probably say 3 to 4 months out. Are you going to sell a bunch of tickets then? No, you're not. Stop freaking out. Everything's going to be okay. But get the tickets up 3 to 4 months out. And then for a small local event, I would say like 5 to 6 weeks is plenty of time. Okay. Especially if they'd like, I call them low commitment events. Like, you know, if you're having to like book a hotel and travel somewhere, that's a higher level of commitment, right? But just to come out to your local brewery for a fun puppy adoption day and a live band and a silent auction, like that's not a whole lot of commitment. You know what I mean? Like somebody could wake up that morning and be like, oh, you want to go to that? Okay, let's go. You know, that's a low commitment event. So that would be 4 to 6 weeks out. 5 or 6 weeks is plenty of time to get a small event, you know, to launch your ticket sales. Okay. So while we're talking about ticket sales, let's talk about a little bit of strategy. I also see people like miss out on this opportunity too, because they didn't have any strategy. They literally just put up like tickets cost $25 per person. But I'm like, and then they're wondering why everyone waits until the last minute. It's typical, y'all. I'm not going to say that I have a magic wand about this, because every event, even some of like the established events, people wait until the last minute. It's just, especially, I see it's gotten worse since COVID, but like it was this way before COVID too. People are always going to wait till the last minute, especially if it's an outdoor event. They're waiting to see what the weather's going to do. They're also waiting to see, are your friends going? Can I get a babysitter? There's so many different factors. So is normal. Okay. Like, I just want to like comfort you a little, tell you you're not crazy. It is normal. People are going to wait until the last minute, and it's going to give you a freaking panic attack every time. Trust me, I am preaching to the choir right now, where, I love telling this story of, actually the first Palette and Palette, that event I was telling y'all about. Okay. First of all, I sold some sponsorship based off of a total vision. Thank you, Dion Moniz. Dion bought in as the presenting sponsor. And I had other sponsors, like cash sponsors too, on the line. And it was the Tuesday before the event. The event was that coming Saturday. So we're literally talking like 4 or 5 days away. And we had sold 4 tickets. Events have given me a panic attack, but that I like couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, was like so anxious of like, oh my God, what if I sold all these sponsors and then I let them down? And this is for the domestic violence center. And like these women need help and men. And I'm going to fail them. And like, I'm going to get fired from the client. I'm going to look like a fool in front of all these people. Trust me, all the feelings. All the emotions. But you know what? By that Saturday, we sold 126 tickets and sold the whole thing out. Biggest panic attack of my life. Now, I'm not going to tell you that that's going to happen every time, but thank God it happened. And that event is still going. I think that event is in like its 7th or 8th year now. So it's going to give you a panic attack pretty much every time. And even now with that event, I handed that event off to their team a couple years ago, so I've been out of the loop. But the last time I did the event a few years ago, same thing. Literally 80% of the tickets are going to sell the week of the event. It's okay. It's okay. Sorry, I digress. I feel your pain. If you're listening to this episode, you're probably in that panic attack mode, or you know that's coming. So just know that like you're not failing. Okay. Like that is normal. And I even see some people pull the plug on an event like 3 or 4 weeks out because people haven't purchased tickets yet. And they're like, this is obviously a bust. People aren't coming. No one's buying tickets. Pull the plug. And I'm like, dude, you really can't do that. It's scary as hell, but like you got to push through, because 80 to 90% of the tickets, and I just made that percentage up, but from my personal experience, 80 to 90% of the ticket sales are going to happen the week of. You just gotta keep pushing, okay? So we'll talk about creative ways to get the word out in just a minute. But for events, let's talk about this. Some strategies that can help you to stay away from the panic attack. First of all, have an early bird price. You know, like when you first launch the ticket sales, have an early bird price, and it needs to be enough of an incentive. $5 off on your ticket is not enough of an incentive to get somebody to move. $25 off, I mean, especially if you're buying a ticket for you and your boo, like $50 off for a couple, that's enough to make me commit earlier. You know, just make sure it's enough of an incentive. I see people, like our clients will be like, well, maybe we give them, you know, $5 off if they buy in advance. No, that's not going to do it. So, and then people ask all the time, like, when to cut off the early bird. That's a great question too. And honestly, it kind of depends on how much you have on the line. Okay, so for some events, like if you're doing it at a hotel or something like that, and you have a food and beverage minimum, or you have to give like a guaranteed number, you're gonna have to cut off early bird a little earlier because you have to make that guarantee to the hotel or the venue or whatever. But it just depends if you have like space limitations, that kind of thing. You know, 3 weeks to a month out, you know. But if you have lower stakes, you know, you don't really have like you don't have to like guarantee a minimum. I would say you could cut off, early bird 1 week out, something like that. And again, it depends on how high of a commitment it is. So 1 week out for low commitment, 3 weeks out for maybe a higher commitment event. So, and also like you don't have to just do an early bird. Early bird is a great idea. Some people even do two, it depends on how expensive your ticket is. They'll do two levels of early bird. They'll do super early bird, which is like $100 off. And then they'll do early bird, which is like $50 off. And then they do a regular ticket price. And then they even do one that is a little higher at the door. Like if you buy in advance, the ticket is $20. If you buy at the door, it's $30. Now that actually helps too, because you will have some people, you know, that will commit to save that $10 so they don't have to like show up the morning of and pay extra. So the one thing that was kind of interesting was that kind of came back to bite me for one event, not necessarily, but there were people that it was a charity event and they purposely were planning to buy on the day of because they wanted to give the charity more money. And I'm like, okay, that's very kind of you, but why not just come and then donate or buy stuff on the silent auction? Because, yeah, giving us a panic attack. But we did have quite a few people that actually purposely ignored the early bird and they bought day of because they wanted to give the charity more money. Okay, that's kind of a rare occurrence, but that did happen to me. So just keep in mind. And also, you could cut off ticket sales the day before or something like that. Again, it totally depends on the framework of your event. Some events, like buying on the day of, is not even an option. And that's totally okay, too. But those are just factors you need to think about. Early birds, can they buy a day of? Can you do a VIP price and a regular price? That's an interesting idea. Or could you do a multiple ticket deal where you give, you know, like I've seen where it's like, you know, $100 per person. But if a couple buys together, they pay $150. So you get the second one kind of half off. So $100 for one ticket or two tickets for $150. That's an idea, too. Again, it totally just depends on your cost per head. So you could also offer tickets to certain groups at a discount. So you could reach out to your chamber, or maybe it's a women's event and you reach out to the local women's club or something like that and say, hey, if you're a member of the Tampa Women's Club, you get $10 off your ticket. Give them a special code. That helps too. These are all like different pricing and ticket strategies that will help you sell more tickets and hopefully sell them sooner, even though most people are going to wait until the last minute. But little things like that can help you sell them a little sooner. So also, you know, if you have like partners for the event, like let's say you are, you know, you could have chefs at your event, and, you know, for every chef, they get to have a code. And if they share it with their people, their code get, you know, use code Jack 10 and you get $10 off your ticket, you know? So you could give discount codes like that to your vendors or your partners or whoever's, you know, like participating in the event with you or helping put it on. You could also do affiliate sales if you've got somebody locally, and we'll get in more of that. So you could also do affiliates. I'm like jumping ahead of myself because I could literally talk about this for a year. Okay, so now let's talk about getting the word out. I use the 5P approach when I start to think about, there's so many ways to get the word out for an event, right? It almost gets to be overwhelming. So think about the 5 P's, okay? And we're going to do a whole episode about the 5 P's, but this is a good way for you to kind of organize your thoughts and how to get the word out. So the first P is possess. So making sure the info is up in the places that you possess, the places you own. So that could be your blog, that could be your email list, that could be your text campaign, okay? Making sure you're getting the word out in those avenues first. Making sure the info is up on your website. Can you imagine? And I laugh about it, but also like it happens all the time. People say like, I clicked through to your website and I don't see any info on the website. And after all that, they put it up on their social media, they do the ticket link and all that, and then it's not even on their actual website. So make sure you cover all of the things that you own. If you have in-room TVs at your resort, you should be putting it there. If you have an email list, a text list, if you have, you know, like little table tents in your restaurant, it should be there. Those are all the places that you control. Okay, so jot down a list of all the things that you control, blog, website, text, email, all that, and make sure you get the word out in those places. Number two is post, okay? So obviously you're gonna post this on your social media, but can we not make it like boring and salesy? Like I see people promoting an event and they use the same description, that little 7 or 8 sentence paragraph, over and over again, and they just post the graphic. Blah, blah, Seafood Fest is next weekend. Join us to enjoy 50 vendors of food and beverage, blah, blah, blah. No, you got to tell some stories. You got to make this way more interesting and stop trying to say, like, everything shouldn't be like, buy a ticket now, buy a ticket now, buy a ticket now. Maybe you interview one of your chefs. Maybe you do a live video on your social where you're tasting some of the wine that's going to be featured at the festival. Maybe you do, God, I mean, there's like a million things. Maybe you let your MC for the event do a takeover on your social media. There's so many different things that you can do. Also do a giveaway, give away some tickets. You know, you got to like, comment, tag a friend, share to your stories for an extra entry. Like you got to get some momentum of doing, talking about aspects of the event, not just sharing the graphic and saying, come join us for this. See you Saturday for this. Come on. No, you got to get on some storytelling. Okay. Also, you could give tickets away to some of your partners. Okay. So that leads us to the third P, partner, okay? So we talked about possess, we talked about post, now we're talking partner, okay? So first thing, your event partners, kind of like what I was talking about. Maybe your MC has a huge social media following. Maybe some of the restaurants involved in the event, they could share it on their page. Maybe you could give them tickets to give away, do the same thing. You have to like the event page. You have to follow, you know, the restaurant and the business, and comment below, tag two friends, that kind of thing. Like you've got to find and utilize your partners here. Like I said earlier, if you give the Tampa Women's Club a special deal on tickets, hey, just say, hey, I'll give you guys a special deal on tickets if you'll share through your email, if you'll share through your social media. I'll send you the graphics. I'll send you all the copy. I'll send you the link to buy tickets. I'll make it so easy on you if you'll just share it to your people. You've got to make it easy on your partners. Otherwise, sometimes they'll post stuff about your event that's incorrect or it looks crappy. So make sure you provide them with assets if you're going to ask them to post for you. Because you want to protect the integrity of your brand, right? For the event's visibility. So That's the third P, is partner. Also, really quick before we move on, influencers and affiliates. This is what I was mentioning earlier. Are there some, I go back to food because some of the events I've done are food. Are there foodie influencers that you could reach out to? Are there mama influencers? If your event is for women and moms or whatever, are there dudes? If your event is for men, like what men can you ask to post for you? Maybe you throw them a free ticket or two. And they, in exchange, have to post X many times, you know, just make sure that is in writing of we're giving you this ticket or whatever, and you're going to post this many times. You're going to share our ticket link. You're going to tag our event page. You got to be really specific with influencers, or they think they're doing their job and they're really not doing anything for you. Or they'll just neglect and they'll like throw up a post to say they did it. And then but it's not actually beneficial for you. Also affiliates, you know, they share about it. They get a special code. And for everybody that buys a ticket, they get $5 off of each ticket, $10. I don't know. It depends on how expensive your ticket is. You know, usually I see affiliates get between 10 and 15%. So get some affiliates involved. Okay. So that's the third P. The fourth P is pitch. Okay, sending out your press release, following up to the local media. And it can't just be like, this is an event. What is the event about? What is the event supporting? Why was the event started? Like, you've got to dig into some of those stories, because if you literally just send it to the media and say like, how, you know, buy tickets to the blah, blah food fest. Like, that's not interesting. That's not exciting. You know, why was this event started? Or is there a celebrity chef coming? You could reach out to the local media and say, hey, we've got local chef blah, blah, blah coming out. Could he come on and do a cooking segment of maybe one of the dishes he's going to do at the festival? You got to get more storytelling rather than just being like, hey, can you help us promote this? Because ultimately, why does the media care? People send them stuff all the time begging for free promotion. What's the story behind it? Who cares? Okay. So just, you know, keep that in mind when you are pitching yourself to local media. And honestly, just like Google it. People are like, I don't know how to do this. Figure it out, dude. Call the news station. You literally can call the news station. That's still a thing for sure. So that's the fourth pitch. And the fifth one, that's the fourth P, is pitch. The fifth P, and you're not going to like this one because no one does, is pay. Yeah, you need to pay to promote your event. I can't tell you how many people have hired us and then they say like, well, I just thought that like I could hire y'all and then I wouldn't have to like advertise anything. No, no. Does a big company hire a marketing director and then never advertise? No, that's not how it works. Like, you need to do paid social. You need to do Google ads. You need to, you know, depends on the event. I'm not going to tell you exactly where to advertise it because every event is different. Yes, you need to spend money. That's going to support everything else you're doing. So I put those P's in a specific order on purpose, and I put pay last because I do think there are so many things that you can do to promote it and to really get traction without paying. But I think payment, like paid ads, are the icing on the cake, and you definitely need it. I'm not eating a dry cake. I like a lot of icing, but you need to pay, have a paid strategy in some way for your event. Even if it's just do not boost a post. I mean, okay, maybe that's such a long convoluted topic, but set up an ad, an actual ad to help support the event. Go back and listen to Boosting is a Trap. Okay. Before you boost, boosting isn't the devil. Okay. Go back to the episode it was actually one of the first episodes I ever did. And it's like one of our most listened to episodes, our most downloaded, whatever you want to say, is Boosting is a Trap. So it's going to talk to you about the difference between boosting a post and actually setting it up in Meta. It's going to change your life. Okay. So those are the five P's on how to get the word out: possess, post, partner, pitch, pay. Okay. And gosh, sorry, this episode's getting long. Like I said, I could go on for days about this. because I have borderline PTSD from some of these events. So some things that you should think about too for your first year. I've got two last little tips, okay? Number one, have a solid videographer and a photographer, because next year when things roll around, you're going to need all that imagery, all that B-roll, all that good stuff. That is like gold for you to promote for the next year. I know in the first year, like you only have like a graphic and maybe you can use like photos of some of the chefs or partners or whatever you're doing. Yeah, it's a little hard. You got to get a little scrappy in your first year for imagery, but at that first year event, definitely have solid video and photo, because you will freaking thank yourself the next year when you have assets to promote. Okay. That's tip number one. Soapbox number two is, if ticket sales are not solid, if you get to be 3 or 4 days out and ticket sales really are struggling as hard as I was that one time, I don't think I gave any away that time. But it is okay to give away some tickets. Contact a few people in town, maybe that are, especially if this is a local event, like contact some influential people and say, hey, would you want to come out this Saturday? I'll throw you 2 tickets if you'll share it on your social media. You know, go around and strategically give away tickets to the type of person that you want at the event. Okay. Because at the end of the day, if you've got sponsors, you've got partners, you've got media, you've got other attendees coming, if they come out there and the event is lame and they're like, there's literally like 5 people in the room, they're going to walk away from their friends. Even if the food is great, the music is great, blah, 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 they're going to walk away and they're going to tell their friends that event was a bust. Nobody came. And perception is reality, right? Even if the food is great, whatever, perception is reality. So get people in the room. If you get to a 911 moment, it is okay to give away some tickets to the event just so the event looks and feels like a success. You get images, your sponsors are happy because people were there. Doesn't matter, okay? Most of the time anyway, on an event, you're gonna not make most of your money off of ticket sales. You're gonna make your money off of other things like vendor participation, silent auctions, that kind of stuff. But just at the end of the day, getting people in the room so it doesn't look like a bust is so important. And I'll share this too. Like one time I was doing an event at this huge porch area, this big patio. And honestly, like it wasn't, we're not talking like hundreds of people. We expected, I don't know, 50 to 60 people. And honestly, we almost hit it. I want to say we had about 40 or 45 people that came out. Not a big deal. First year event. We were happy with it. But the patio, the venue was so big that it felt empty. It felt empty. So even though we were just like 5 tickets away from our goal, it felt empty. And so people at the event even were saying like, why didn't anybody come to this? This is such a great event. I wonder why no one came to this. And we're like, dude, people did come. People are here. But again, it's all about optics. It's all about visibility. So if you get in a scenario like that, where maybe you're at a hotel and you were expecting 500 people and you have 100, I would go to the hotel and say, hey, can we downsize to a much smaller ballroom? Or instead of doing it on, you know, hey, restaurant, instead of doing it on your patio, could we do it over here on your, you know, at the indoor bar? So it feels a little tighter and a little more crowded. And it's all about filling up the space. So just keep that in mind too. Like if you have some flexibility of like, you got to get everybody kind of cramped up together so that they feel like, wow, there's people here. There's a lot of people here. It's all about perception is reality. It's all about the optics, y'all. So I hope this is helpful for you. If you're having a panic attack about your event, shoot me a DM. I'm totally happy to like weigh in or help give you any advice that I can for like last minute pushes or anything like that. So good luck to all of you event planners out there. Don't freak out. You got this. At the end of the day, get people there, get some photos and images. Don't give up. You know, if I sold 122 tickets within 4 days, you can too. You can do it. All right. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, as always, if you have any questions, like Sarah, thank you for submitting this. Like, I love hearing what y'all want me to talk about. So thank you, Sarah, for offering or like throwing in the suggestion. If you have a topic, hit me up, y'all. You can find me on Instagram, Whitney Lee. I'm sorry, on LinkedIn, Whitney Lee. And then on Instagram, it's The Whitney Lee, T-H-E, Whitney Lee. So would love to hear about what topics you want to hear next. So have a great day and we'll see you soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.